And we're live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 131 of Fans of Power. I'm the man behind the mask, Joe Amato, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Tyler T-Rex Baker. And, well, T-Rex, well, shit, hold on, sorry, didn't mean for the cussing. I gotta turn this down. I had the volume up on my...
I've done it twice
where I had the volume up on my laptop because I watch us in the chat room as we're doing the show. I did that earlier today. I had the volume up, so there, you heard me twice. But, yeah, I was going to say, before we start off the show, this week, the unfortunate passing of Dean Stefan, you know, who's worked on the new MYP Masters of the Universe cartoon, he passed away, so that's a sad thing, and I didn't know how many people heard it, and I know you heard it, and it's just, that's always so sad to hear something like that.
Yeah, our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and close friends and relatives and anybody that just appreciated his work on the show. I mean, it's certainly sad to hear, and we'll praise his works as we get deeper into the show here.
Yeah, so there's definitely a lot. Again, just as Tyler said, all prayers go to his family and friends, and yeah, he'll be missed. I mean, as you know, we'll get into later, there's a lot of amazing episodes that he wrote for the MYP cartoon, and a lot of memorable moments. That's what's going to be fun is as we do this and speak not only of some of the episodes, but moments. There's a lot of moments I remembered in that cartoon that, you know, like gave me chills, that just got you and sucked you in. So we'll get to that in a bit. But, first, let me say hello to everyone in the chat. And we have Tom Charlton, Tamara Shipper, Zen Brown, and Brad Collins. Thank you all for joining us. But is there any other recent news that you can think of that... things coming out or things being shown or previewed of, you know, in regards to Masters, Princess Power New Adventures?
Not to sound a little self-centered here, but thanks to one of our listeners, Eric Amon, I am the proud owner of something I thought I'd never in a million years ever come across. And he was gracious enough to give me an extra copy of the Ultimate Battleground mini comic.
Wow, that's a pricey comic too, and that's a pretty rare one. That's awesome.
And Eric just decided to give it a good home. He overheard me talking, I think, about 2 episodes ago that I did not own a copy, let alone the epic playset itself as well. But it's something I pretty much came to terms with, that I'll never own the mini comic. And he was extremely gracious enough to just send it to me, and I told him I'd treat it just like Indiana Jones and the Idol before Belloc takes it from him. When I finally got it, I just had to kind of rub the facial hair I had.
Yeah, exactly. So did he send you that plastic little case too? He sent you that little plastic cover?
He took such great care of getting this to me. Like he tried to send it priority mail or overnight, and it arrived while I was at the beach, so I knew that when I got home, I would have it waiting on me. But he
looks like it's in great condition too.
Oh, I mean this thing, and I'm just now opening it out of the seal, for the podcast here. I have yet to actually hold it in like the actual book itself. I figured that would...
Let's hope your fingers ain't greasy. You don't want to get acids on that thing. No.
Oh my God, this thing is like in pristine condition here, man. I mean this is like case fresh. It's flat.
It smells like the 80s, huh?
It's got a nice little musty 80s smell to it. Like it's been locked in an attic somewhere for eons, and it's been pried open there, and you find like hieroglyphics on the box saying, you know, you must get this to Tyler from Fans of Power podcast. And
that's good. That's cool. That is really cool. And by the way, I was going to say Zentron's in the chat room, but also Eric Amon, he's there in the chat room. So there you go.
Yeah, all right, Eric. Thank you very much, man. I can't wait to actually read the actual hard copy myself. I read it enough in the Dark Horse book and on He-Man.org. To read it in person here is a big deal. So this is something I can't stress enough. I figured it was just going to be Joe Amato, who's the only person I knew firsthand that owned this and the play set. So Eric has made something that was pretty much impossible to get a hold of. So,
well, he says you're welcome. He said that in the chat room. He said much love. So there you go. That's damn cool.
I can't thank him enough for that. It was a really, really cool, extremely gracious present that he gave me. I can't thank him enough for that, really.
So that's awesome. Like I said, it always shows the generosity and how damn cool everybody can be in the community with each other to do stuff like that. Something you would never expect somebody to do. So when it happens, it's kind of a shocker. It like takes you back. Like, my God, somebody actually did something like that. It's great. That's what I love seeing about the community. You see the kindness, the actual genuine kindness among fellow fans. And like I said, you become friends. Doesn't mean you have to meet somebody physically face to face to be their friend. I've met so many great people within here on this, YouTube channel with this, podcast and on Facebook. And it's great, man. People are just so damn cool.
No, thanks to this podcast. And I mean, hell, I still have yet to meet Joe in person. We have never shaken hands. Like, Joe and I are still communicating,
Well, we have to have that mega power shake one day if we ever meet face to face.
Yeah, we do, man. We don't know what we're really getting into. And then we shake hands and then boom, just... everything explodes. But it's been really, really cool, thanks to the podcast, for people to reach out through Facebook, whether it's a friend request. I just assume that they listen to the podcast or have at some point, or I figure that's got to be the only way they know me from. I can't imagine them know me from anything else.
I'm sure they might have caught you on Facebook as well, through a lot of the He-Man groups, or when you comment sometimes. Yeah,
pretty much just kind of promote the podcast. I'll share certain pictures here and there. People like the Conan cover photos they use, or movie stuff. Maybe I know some people like that as well, but I assume that, most people, if they're friends with Joe and they're friends with Axel or Kevin or Penny or John Atkin or something like that, this is, it's all He-Man related. So I'm assuming it's gotta be through this podcast, cause I can't think of anything else people would know me for. So it's been really cool. We say it every week. We don't say it as a cliche thing to close the show. We're really thankful that no matter where you're at on this planet, if you're in Australia, Scotland, England, Canada, you're in LA, you're in South America, you're in Russia, whatever. If you took the time to reach out to Joe and I, send us a friend request, or send us something on a Messenger or a YouTube comment, or just reply to one of our posts about the podcast. Joe's always posting random things about He-Man. I'm kind of more about promoting the podcast and stuff like that. But if you took the time to respond to something that we posted regarding He-Man, we appreciate it. It's
most definitely. Like you said,
don't
always
anything.
No, they don't. And we try to, at least, like you said, we always try to acknowledge anytime somebody says something and thank you and have conversations. And I always feel bad if I accidentally might forget something. That's when I feel horrible, because you might get a lot of messages like, dang it, I forgot somebody, which makes me feel like crap. But otherwise, I think we try as much as possible to, always talk back and forth. Because like I said, we're a big group of friends. It's a big community. And that's what I love about it. And also, Adam Gabbert, thank you for joining us in the chat room. But, it's like other stories and things, like, Dan Rice. It seems like it always comes back to him one way or another, him and his kids. But, him and his kids are super masters of the universe fans. And they listen to our podcast. But also, Dan did something the other day in a group. And I told him, I said, I'll give you some crap about it, Dan. I'll mess with you. Because he took his cell phone and he was videotaping his two kids, Philip and Alex. And Philip just started randomly doing his own Masters of the Universe story. He was starting to talk. He was going to do a story. And Dan kept interrupting him. And Dan kept cutting him off. And I was like, man, you're taking him off his game. He's like, no, I'm trying to keep him on his game. And I was like, and you were wrong about some stuff too, because Philip was right and you were making him wrong. He's like, no, he's like, I'm just trying to, keep him on his game. I was like, I actually don't think you know what you were talking about, Dan. Because like, Philip, he was talking about one part. He said he had a Skeletor had a plot to get into Castle Grayskull. So he sprayed some invisible spray on himself to turn himself invisible so he could get in there. And then Dan said, well, why isn't he just use the Diamond Ray of Disappearance? That can make him turn invisible. And then, Philip kind of kept talking and retalking. I told Dan, I said, Dan, remember, the Diamond Ray of Disappearance isn't going to turn Skeletor invisible. That's going to send him into another dimension. I said, so you were wrong to do that to your son, Philip. He's like, I know. He's like, I was just messing. I was like, oh, okay. And then, Philip said, well, once he got invisible and went into Castle Grayskull, he tried to take He-Man's sword from him while he was sleeping. And then Dan said, well, He-Man doesn't sleep, remember? It's Prince Adam that sleeps. He can't sleep as He-Man. And I was like, don't you remember that one book we just talked about? I said, if that was the one that they escaped from the slime pit, or that one read-along book, I said, remember?
Batman book, where He-Man sleeps.
Yeah, that's it. I was like, He-Man was sleeping, and He-Man had a bed. But he was just, he kept, edging him on. But either way, the kid was saying some great stuff. That's why I love seeing the imagination of children. It made me think about when we did it, because he was like, yeah, and at one point, Skeletor was able to make, you know, the snake that was around Snake Mountain come to life. And then it slithered all the way to Castle Grayskull. And then when it went around Castle Grayskull, it set back the stone. And I can't remember if Philip's like 8 or 9, but it's just so cool seeing the story, the web that he's weaving of this story. And he's like, and it went around Castle Grayskull. And Dan was like, well, what would you call it? Like, you know, Castle Snake Mountain or something. But I just love seeing it. And the other random thing that was cool is Alex, he's the younger one. As they were talking, Alex never got a chance to talk. In the background, somebody was driving by and had some like music, some funky music that was playing. And out of nowhere, you see Alex start going to the side and dance. It was hilarious. But I was like, I gotta give a shout out to our two youngest fans who listen to us. And just to see, it's great to see Masters is alive in them and that they're still using imagination like that. It's great to see with kids these days.
Yeah, I have to ask Dan's kids, what do they think of Lizard Man, Clawful, Jitsu, Mossman, and Cyclone, and Clank Champ. Yeah, if he's listening and his kids are, I'd like to hear their thoughts on the characters that are not as discussed as heavily, like Clank Champ and Lizard Man and Clawful and Jitsu. I'd like to get their initial thoughts on characters like that. What does, because adult fans are like, just dismissing a lot of those characters, not Clawful and Jitsu, but
Clank kind of Champ. Lizard Man sometimes gets dismissed. Maybe Lizard Man just gets kind of thrown to the side, you think?
I just feel like he's an absolutely wonderful character. Actual Lizard Man that's buddies with He-Man. And I'd like to know what a younger generation thinks of this character. Do they, because I, to his credit, the character is beloved, but I often feel like he's overlooked, neglected, much like Clank Champ. So I'd be curious to hear what the boys have to say about that. Our really young audience, do they dismiss him, or is Dan training him in the ways of enlightenment and showing that these two characters are absolute badasses?
That would be fun to
see. A Pone and Aliens would say, you know, absolute badasses.
No, it is. It'd be interesting to see what they think of them, because I know that I believe it's Philip who loves Stratos. Which, remember, I was giving him a hard time, but Stratos sucks.
And you're the guy that needs to be shoved in his locker, like going by and dumping his books. Well, don't worry, I come along and hang Joe from the flagpost and it's Donald's lunch to Goldberg from Mighty Ducks or something like that.
Yeah, and Alex, he was the one that was loving Modulok. But yeah, I'd be curious to see what they think, because even like Grimbot in the chat room was like, maybe what about Ram Man? Yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard them really mention anything about Ram Man or Dan, but it'd be cool to hear what Dan has to say about those. So we appreciate it, because just to see the excitement, like Dan was doing some other random video, and in the background you see his kids were like walking into the screenshot, and while he's doing his videos of talking about some, you know, maybe a figure he unboxed or whatever, and like, Dad, we gonna watch the MYB cartoon? We gonna watch He-Man? Just seeing the excitement from the kids, I was like, well, this is just cool as shit. I mean, it's just great, you know how we were when we were younger. You just couldn't wait to watch the new episodes. And so they're not only into Filmation, they're into MYP. They definitely have a good range of knowing stuff about Masters of the Universe.
Question to Grimbot. I'd like to know what he thinks of Lizard Man. And could we ever see him in the foreseeable future?
That's a great question. I would love to have Grimbot on the podcast. We'll have to see, because he has a very great, vast knowledge of Filmation. And not only that, it seems like he knows a lot of other cartoons. So you heard it here, Grimbot. He's asking you what you think of him, but also if you do ever want to join us on the show.
Like I said, I was asking if we would see Lizard Man in the foreseeable future.
Oh, I thought you meant on the show, because you know what's funny?
Of course, I'd love to have Grimbot on the podcast anyway. That should go without saying. But hinting, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Lizard Man in the foreseeable future.
Gotcha.
It could be a dream, but, you know, I'm hoping maybe James has told us, if you didn't already know, when he does the Return of Faker, he plans to put together some like mock VHS tape covers, like of the Magic Window and the original like RCA Columbia house. So I'm hoping that maybe just for fun, when they come up with the covers and they do the back, there's a shot of Lizard Man and Cyclone that maybe aren't even featured in the Return of Faker, just as like Joe had said. why is Lizard Man and Cyclone here? They weren't in the episode. What episode is that from? Just that as was a fun nod, just because it's Cyclone and Lizard Man, like standing side by side as if they're like observing like something that's coming at them or something. Has nothing to do with the episode.
That would be cool.
Really cool. So I was just curious, Grandma. I wonder if we would ever see Lizard Man in the foreseeable future.
Well, you definitely planted the seed because, I mean, what's funny is I thought actually you also were asking the question if he wanted to come on the show because I was going to ask him this.
Yeah, I'd love to have him on the
podcast. Yeah, it's funny, though. It's bizarre because that's something I've been wanting to ask him, and I was going to say, would you like to join us? But anyways, he replied. He said he loves Lizard Man. He said he was in one of 13 episodes that aired over here in the late 80s where he lives. And he said, as for maybe on the podcast, he said, maybe. So, well, definitely. Yeah, we'll have to get in touch with you some more about that. But now let's talk a little bit about some of the MYP episodes. And I didn't know if you want to discuss a lot of the great ones that Dean did write and worked on, because there was many, like you said. I mean, there was the whole From the Beginning, The Courage of Adam. I know he did The Council of Evil, I think, part one and two, The Last Stand. Yeah, go on. You talk about a couple, but yeah, there's so many great episodes, but I'll talk about some of the moments also. There was moments that got me, and I remember getting chills. I give
Dean a lot of credit because his fingers are in all of it, since he was the executive producer on the show and, you know, was the head writer and everything. So I like to give him credit that, you know, a lot of things, you know, he's got approval over all of it, and or some of his ideas as well. But I initially like to jump in the moments as well. Moments of pure excitement was the snake pit, you know, when and seeing the actual Rat Lore and Cobra Khan in the same episode, seeing Stinkor. I mean, for me, the some of the biggest moments was seeing characters brought into the cartoon that either hadn't been period or they were, you know, reinvented. Like Count Marzo was super exciting. Evil Seed, Moss Man. Too Bad, I lost my mind over just because of just how unbelievably well done Too Bad was done. Cyclone and Roboto. Because I remember when Roboto showed up, me and my brother were like, what the hell is this? That's not Roboto. And it was great to have that big unveiling when he works on himself. So, I mean, just moment-wise, an Underworld where Skeletor and He-Man are having their sword fight, like the three-way sword fight with King Randor and He-Man and Skeletor, that's a wonderful moment. But, overall, it was such an exciting time waiting for each Friday and sitting down at 5 o'clock here for a while before it moved to Saturday nights and recording every episode, me and my brother, and just wondering who's going to show up in this episode. If it wasn't given away in the synopsis, it was kind of like fair, anybody could show up.
You know, so. And you're right, and that's what was great. You never knew who was going to show up, and I still will never forget when that cartoon first came on TV. You know, back in the day when it first came on, I'm not joking when I say I lived across the street from the factory I worked. I mean, I lived right across the street. I was at there and home in 30 seconds. That's how quick I could be there. And I remember I was getting off work. I had the VCR all set just in case I missed anything. And I, right when I clocked out, I ran my ass home and I got there just quick, just as it was starting, even though I had it recording set a couple of minutes early. I never had that feel. I mean, it was like since I was a kid, since I had that feeling. I was like, it's strange. You're like, oh, you're an adult. But I tell you what, it was getting me chills. I'm sitting down and I'm just watching and I'm just engrossed in what the hell's going to happen. And I love the story from the beginning to the end and just seeing what Adam, you know, how, of course, you know, Adam would eventually, you know he has to become He-Man. He's told the story. But that excitement level of finally having He-Man back was something that, I mean, I'll always remember. They did great. I mean, as through the series, as you see, it had that good atmospheric music as well. Like, you know, when Adam would, when he would transform into him and that build up of that music. I always say that's what's so important in cartoons also. It's not just how something will look and if the story's great. You have to have a great setting of music. Like I would, you know me, I used to pick on New Adventures and I always said, New Adventures, there is zero impact with their music. There's no oomph in, like, the transformation and sound effects. And, you know, I'll say stuff just to give you crap or just to say it. But what's funny is...
I'm not oblivious. And as we've done the show, I'm more comfortable. Like, look, the New Adventures, no, the cartoon is a hard sell. But what I do appreciate is that it's a great idea. A lot of great characters. It's just the execution, the overall product. It leaves a lot to be desired. I'm not, but it still doesn't mean that characters like KO and Lizor and Vizar and Optic and Karate do not belong in the He-Man mythology.
They can no.
perfectly. I mean, well, to bring it right back to NYP, I hated Count Mars and Filmation. But however, when I found out in the synopsis that Count Mars was going to be in Mechanics Lament, me and my brother both were like, they might do a pretty good damn good job with this.
And it was definitely different Count Mars than which you were picturing, too.
We just kind of felt like, given how everybody had looked so far, it was cool that it won my brother over, who was dismissive of He-Man for years under the new adventures. It won him over with all the new redesigns and everything, and we both really liked Count Marzo.
Oh, yeah, Count Marzo. I mean, no, he did. He had a fantastic redesign, and you're right, because I'm sure when you heard it, you're thinking immediately the image you have in your head of Filmation, you're like, dear God, why are they bringing this guy in here? And then you see this reinterpretation, you're like, wow, that was a great upgrade. I mean, some upgrades might be, but that one was a great one. But no, like, you know, just quickly say back to New Adventures, you know, that's what Grimbot, when he showed me in the chat room, and I couldn't remember if he did it or what, but he said, Joe, I want you to check out this New Adventures intro and also the cartoon with the Filmation sound for the intro and then sound effects. And boy, it seemed like it made such a world of difference. You know, just hearing the Filmation sound effects, it brought like the atmosphere to life. That's what I mean. You got to have a great combination when you do a cartoon. It's the mix of story, the way it looks, you know, how it's portrayed, the act, and the music. But
well, it's a shame the people who did New Adventures, they did Cops, they did Inspector Gadget, they did Ghostbusters, the real Ghostbusters. So you felt like, well, these guys, quality, great intros and great, you know, animation. I'm like, what happened with the He-Man cartoon where, you know, there wasn't memorable music throughout the show. Like Ghostbusters had good music, so did Cops and
That was the biggest hard sell. That's the, for me, my opinion for New Adventures, God, that music and the sound effects, it really took me out of the show. That's what wasn't sucking me in. That's why when this cartoon, the, you know, the MYP came out, and when I rushed home for it, you know, I'm super excited and I'm waiting to see what happens, and it sucked you in. They did a great job of all that. I love the transfer. I mean, the first time when Adam turned into He-Man, I just remember getting them damn chills. You know, I still get goosebumps. Even some of the moments, like, you know, as we see later on in the series, see, that was some of the genius parts that were written in some of the episodes. Like, I love that Dean was able, and I think it was the Council of Evil Part 2, when He-Man remembers trapped by the magical vines, and he is
completely.
And then, you know, the sorceresses talk, oh, maybe this is something that Prince Adam could do, or you know, I forgot how she phrased it. I know you probably know it word by word, but when He-Man reached and grabbed the power sword and was able to use the iconic phrase we only heard once in Filmation, let the power return, and bam, zoom, he went back to Adam. And that's what's cool. It shows first the genius of using that line so we could see the transformation from He-Man to Adam, but also show that it worked for the moment of this cartoon. Like, let's say it was done in Filmation, which I absolutely love Filmation, but you couldn't have really had that scene because, remember, He-Man and Prince Adam have the same exact physical build. So it worked for this new MYP because of how Prince Adam is physically different than the He-Man character in his build. So that's what was cool to see, was when he said, with power return, and bam, he's Adam, and Cringer, Battle Cat turned back to Cringer. They were able to get out of that, but right after they got into it, he's looking at Cringer like, okay, I'm going to have to turn you back into Battle Cat again, until Teela interrupted. But I like that there was that moment. I also like that he was able to show, you know, Cringer as being, at least in this episode, you got to see Cringer save the day at that part. Remember when Adam has fallen after Webster shot that web, and then he was pulling him up, and then Webster said, why bother, or whatever, and snapped the web to let Adam fall to his death. And as he's fallen out of nowhere, boom, Cringer, I remember when he caught him and landed on that safe, you know, ground, I actually went, yes! I remember doing that when I seen that, because it was so damn cool to see. It's like, look at Cringer taking charge and taking his ass to Castle Grayskull too. It was like, you gave some respect to Cringer, a character that a lot of people want to pick on, so I love that moment, too.
One of my favorite moments from Council of Evil Part 2 is He-Man's fight with the Giants. The Giants, I mean, I was so kind of taken aback when Buzz Off's Pride came out, and I'm like, this episode sucked. I've since grown to appreciate and enjoy it a lot more. And when the Council of Evil showed up, I'm like, I wonder if the three Giants will show up. And you kind of have an idea of, like, them, you know, Marzo probably show up, Evil Seed and everything, but I really grew to like the fight between He-Man and the three Giants, Asdar and Kazdar and Belzdar.
Yep. Belzdar, I think. Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, and I really just enjoyed the fight, the just the animation of He-Man, you know, leaping up and you know, throwing a giant boulder at them and leaping out of the way, and them smacking He-Man around. It was just a fun, energizing action sequence. I just from that particular episode.
Really quick, I just want to say hello, JSP. Dan Rice said he's joining us late, and Dan, we just talked about you and your kids, so you'll have to catch that in a bit. And also, got a new listener. It's his first time tuning in. It's Jose, and thank you for joining us, Jose. Appreciate it. So, cool. I wanted to give shout out to all them.
But I mean, I really enjoy, like, there's, you know, that first moment of He-Man meeting Skeletor for the first time, you know, it's. Or in He-Man meeting the Snake Men for the first time, you know, like when he breaks into the void, Rat-Lord, Cobra Khan, and Snake Men, you know, warriors are there, and they look up and see He-Man crash through. When I saw that, I'm like, this is a big moment. This is He-Man meeting the Snake Men for the first time. So that was a big moment. And then when Skeletor and He-Man confront each other at the end of the beginning, that was another big moment for me. Yes. 'Cause for this show, like, that this is fun to build up for their first encounter together. And I mean, in the transformation sequence, the first moment, I mean, cause this is something I meant to bring up to you earlier, were the trailers that were advertising, like the trailer that was, I think it came out at San Diego in summer 2002, I think, or around, maybe it wasn't San Diego because I remember right before the toy line came out in August, or in July, damn it. Anyway, that summer, because I had just graduated high school and I had seen the trailer had dropped, like with no dialogue other than I think He-Man saying, you know, I have the power and you're all masters of the universe, all. And it was just images with good epic trailer music. I remember playing it for my brother over the phone. I said, dude, I swear to God, I think this is a cartoon you'll get by, especially Triclops. Because there's a shot of Triclops firing blasts from his visor. And I watched that trailer so many times. And then when they dropped the Cartoon Network commercials, and one of my favorites, it's on YouTube. It's this epic, like, I think, minute trailer. And it does a great job of depicting this action-oriented cartoon that's going to be coming out. And the music that's playing and telling you quickly what the show's going to be about. I still watch that trailer to this day because it's just so energizing, and that it was such a great way of getting the fans excited that it's new He-Man cartoon and we're taking it seriously here. We're not going to be turning it into some sort of Trinko machine, you know, because you think, oh, this property warrants itself to comedy. If you're wondering what we're talking about, check out our recent episode of Beyond Retro.
Yeah, I have no doubt. I also would say, you know, it's funny about how you say how you remember the first time you seen or heard something. I also say what I always say first, hello, Jake Juggalo in chat room. But I always say that it took me a while until I got an actual computer to get online. My only way of getting online back in the day was through my Sega Dreamcast. I got it in 1999, and I, you know, of course, played it for years and years, and it also could go online. So my first experience of hearing or seeing anything was through the Dreamcast. I can't even remember where it was at, but it said, hear the first audio clip from the new Masters of the Universe.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Prince Adam saying, by the power of Grayskull. And I remember I hit it. I was like, oh, man, please let me be able to do this. Because through that on the Dreamcast, you couldn't go to randomly sites and usually hear video or even see video. It was just you played games online and connected with your friends. But I clicked it. And when I heard him say, by the power of Grayskull, I was like, oh, my God. And I would hit it over and over. I was like, that was my poor man's way of just hearing something. But I listened to that stupid line. Not saying stupid to put it down, but you know what I mean? I listened to it so much. It's like, that's all I could hear. And that's why I prayed. I was like, oh my God.
Well, we didn't have YouTube back then. It was strictly, this is what was available on like He-Man.org. They had the clips uploaded. And I would just go back and have to go through the old news feed and try to find where, okay, on June 15th, it was the big long trailer. And then they uploaded the Cartoon Network Toonami trailers. And it was just, it was so much fun, along with the figures being introduced, like what was coming out that summer, and everything like that. It was very exciting, man. I remember just
You know, if it wasn't for Toy Fair magazine at and back in the day,
Yeah.
I
And
probably wouldn't
Bart's toy guy, because that's what I
have.
remember seeing, a long big spread of like all the Tua
Well,
figures.
for me, I remember, see, I told you I was out of collecting for a while. You know, I went from collecting figures because then I would start playing video games, you're with girls, you kind of lose that flow, and eventually somehow it
Painting
cycled.
the picture here that I was not into girls. I just had a hard time getting girls' attention. So
No, no, no,
don't
no,
be
no.
like, you know, oh well, since Tyler was there during the
No,
dark
no,
ages,
no, no.
like
So this is how I'm gonna
Joe
cycle.
hair greased up in the leather jacket, toothpick.
Hey, how
You
you
know,
doing?
the
Eh?
Buck
So let me.
guy, and his name is Pal, to reference Uncle Buck.
Exactly. Yeah, hey, pal. No, I remember that with that damn toothpick. I thought he was gonna choke. But well, this is what's weird is I didn't collect any figures. My cousin, though, he loved like starting lineup figures. He liked things like that. And I remember I was like, oh man, I'll get you some of those for Christmas. He's like, well, what can I get you? I was like, I don't collect action figures no more. He was like, well, you love the Simpsons cartoon. They got some new Simpson figures. I was like, man, trust me, I don't want that stuff. He was like, okay, I won't get any. Christmas came, he got me three Simpson figures. I think he got me like Grandpa, Lisa, and I think it was Chief Wiggum. I think those were the three figures he got me. I looked at him, I was like, damn, these are kind of cool. And I put them up on my shelf. I said, oh no. And I almost like when there's something I like, I almost get the shakes at first. I said, I gotta get more of these. And it became a Simpson craze. And I became a quest to find all the Simpsons figures, which when I started getting Toy Fair to find out more about them, they had get this exclusive Toy Fair version of a certain Simpson figure. Well, since I subscribed to Toy Fair, that was my first way of seeing about the new He-Man cartoon and the toys. That's how I found out about He-Man was through them. So if I never would have got into Simpsons, I wonder, man, how late would I have been to even known about a cartoon or the figures? I knew nothing of them. But then it became the search. I was like, oh man, hopefully if I can get online to a real website someday, I can find this stuff out. And it was when, before the figures came out here in the United States, it might have been the org. It could have been where somebody said, man, if you guys live in Canada, we got the new He-Man figures already.
Yeah,
And
I remember that. Yeah.
everybody's like, what? No way. And my dad, he loved going to the casino in Canada, in Windsor. I said, yo, Dad, you think, you know, when you're going to Canada next time, do you think you could check a Toys R Us if you find it? And I gave him some money. He's like, they got those He-Man figures. Could you get them? I was like, I'll go look. And he went, looked, and he came home like that previous night. He's like, sorry, Joe, didn't find it. I was like, oh, dang. I was like, that's all right. So I went to bed, got up for work the next morning to make breakfast, and sitting on the deck or the kitchen table was all the He-Man figures. He found the whole wave. Oh man, I was freaking out. So that's another epic moment I remember, some figures, which of course then tie into the whole cartoon, but very good times, very good times.
That reminds me, when the summer those toys were coming out, I went to our local park down the road here with a buddy of mine and my brother, and we just went to go like hit a ball on the tennis court, just pretending like we knew how to play tennis. And I remember he said, "You know those He-Man figures? Walmart's got them right now." And I that's it. And I grabbed my brother, I grabbed him, we jumped in the car and ran straight to Walmart right across the bridge, and it was. Oh my God. And it was, of course, that was when they only released the heroic assortment. And I had made a point, because these were available on eBay at the time, and I was determined to keep up this tradition of each new line of He-Man figures that had come out. He-Man and Skeletor were the first two I got, from the original line to New Adventures to the commemorative figures. It was by chance I got He-Man and Skeletor, and I thought, I have to keep up this tradition. And so I went on eBay, and it was the summer of graduate, so I had like over $1,000 in graduation money. And I was just, I bought He-Man and Skeletor on eBay, because I just said I had to officially purchase He-Man and Skeletor to keep this tradition going. And then I actually got in hand He-Man, Stratos, Man-at-Arms, Battle Cat, and I think the Battle Hawk, all at that same day. Took them all home, and we all were just looking at them, and my brother got into purchasing them all. And that summer I spent buying commemorative figures and buying every 2000X figure. I was spending like $30 for Merman on eBay before I could actually get it in hand.
Isn't that
I
great?
mean, God, but I didn't care, because I didn't have a job. All this money for just graduating high school, I just spent it all on eBay that summer. Everything was He-Man and eBay all summer, from vintage to 2000X. and waiting for that epic as hell cartoon to come out. So
and it was such a great time because it was so cool when you go into the store and you're just sitting there crossing your fingers. You know, you didn't know if something was going to be there. And if some new wave, it really did. It took you back to your childhood of like, oh my God. And when you see Masters of the Universe and there's tons of figures, you're physically getting so excited and you're going through them all like, oh, they got this one, this one, this one. And you yank them all. I mean, these stories, it's weird. And like how I say, you know, about my dad, which Dan Rice said, your dad sounds amazing. No, he is. Like I said, he's doing so many cool things for Masters when it was out at the time. Like another one, Aldi's, if you remember that store, they were the only store, if I'm not mistaken, the only store in the United States that got that last wave of the Snake Men assortment with King Hiss and all them. Remember, that was an international thing, but they advertised in the paper Aldi's Masters of the Universe figures. I was like, huh? And I showed my dad, I was like, the heck's in Aldi's? He was like, oh, there's one, you know, like, you know, a few miles down on this other road, which I never even heard of in Aldi's. I was like, you think you could check when I go to work? So I was always, it's always when I'm at work, whether I'm work or if it was him going to the casino, he's like, I'll go look. So he went while I was at work, and at lunchtime, I ran across the street, and sure enough, he's like, Joe, and he put a big brown paper bag. He's like, there you go. And he had every single one, including some of the variant colored ones. But he's like, I'm going to let you know. He's like, I almost got into a fight. I was like, what happened? He was like, well, I sat there and I looked for everyone you said it would be there, and I'm grabbing them and I'm stacking them. I'm putting them on the ground right next to me. I have a stack. He said, this one guy came up and he was looking at some figures. He's like, hey, he's like, that's Rattler. I started going to my dad. He's like, oh, no, no, no. He's like, that's my stack. He was like, this is all mine. He's like, those are all yours. He's like, yeah, there's mine. He's like, you go check on the shelf. But he did. My dad wiped out the whole entire shelf, and I think all that was up there was like a couple leftover variants. But that's crazy. Yeah, it's just fun. I miss that adventure. I miss the hunt. You know, that's the thing that's sad about not seeing them in the stores anymore is
I admit it. We all do. We all miss it. And hell, I even got Nathan into collecting the 2000X line. We used to go out on the weekends looking for any of the 2000X figures and Marvel Legends at that time. And I remember he called me up from a Kmart in Withville saying, hey, I found Mechanek. I'm like, son of a bitch. He's like, I got you one. Like, oh, man.
Oh, you thought he was going to keep it just for himself and you'd have been stuck with none.
He used to, you know, like if he could one-up me, he enjoyed doing it. Even if it was a character he may not have wanted, like he would just enjoy savoring that heat. But because he knew I was such a He-Man nut, he was always trying to help out. So that was a big deal. But I remember he could care less about the variants. And I will say, one of the inside jokes between me and Nathan is we'd say, oh, man, when they see something that's really lame. So we act like we're really excited about it by yelling, oh, man. And we got to another Kmart here in the area, and I found the battle pack or the flight packs, the Eagle flight pack and the Bat flight pack.
Okay.
I got the flight packs. He goes, oh, man. Because he could care less about the flight pack. I was just like, anything He-Man that I hadn't known, he was like, I got to have it.
And yeah, I got him.
On the phrase, oh, man, is something me and him still use when we make fun of movies that we like. Oh,
really don't care about.
Yeah, or just anything. So due to the 2000X toy line, one of our inside jokes originated.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, they did have some toys or some of the stuff from the 2000X line that I didn't flip over, like the flight packs. Like you said, like, eh. It's like, you know, like, oh, a quick little cheap version of Zoar and Screech, you could say. But I didn't really flip over them or the Battle Hawk and some stuff. I was like, eh. I got a couple of vehicles. I admit, that's the one thing I didn't get all. I got all the figures, but when it came to vehicles, I thought, eh, some are cool. Like, I got the Bash and Beetle. It reminded me of Bashasaurus, but I was like, I didn't go nuts over them. But, no, that was a quick side rant on our the vehicles and figures. But, no, now we can talk a little bit more about some of the MYP episodes and moments. Now, there's another moment that I remember gave me chills. And I know you're not a super fan of this character, but I admit that when King Grayskull, you already know what I'm getting to, when we finally did see about King Grayskull, and I know you didn't flip out over that whole character in general, but...
What?
You, King Grayskull, I know you didn't like him.
The moment I saw the character, I was so pissed off.
But I don't know. I know you
were. I digress. We're not here to point out things I didn't like about NYP.
So. No. But when it came to, you know, the power of Grayskull and, you know, of course, Socius is telling the story about the past and everything. I did remember. I loved the part when we finally got to see Hordak and the Horde and King Grayskull face off against them and how he, you know, kind of took care of, you know, Mantenna and the rest of them like nothing. And then coming at Hordak, and I remember with that sword, how he's coming and Hordak is just standing there Like, it's absolutely nothing. And you see that force field of energy, and King Grayskull is trying to get closer and closer, and then, you know, like, Hordaki makes a comment about, you know, like, oh, I see you have some power or whatever, and then all he does is that scream that blasts King Grayskull back, and then you see the, you know, the Horde Wraiths or whatever the hell you want to call them, they're up there, and I remember when they all started shooting their power and energy on King Grayskull, trying to take care of him and kill him, and then when he just started standing back up and said, I have the power, I remember I did get chills on that, and it opened that portal, which destroyed the rock around, you know, Castle Grayskull, which, no, I guess you can see why the chasm was, but I liked that moment. There's certain moments, but it was the whole thing with Hordak, because I was like, my God, this is one intimidating, you know, wizard, if you want to say. You could feel the magic from him. He seems so damn evil, and like I said, we always say it sucks we couldn't get more of him, but that was well at least written and shown the power of this character, and I like how he wrote that. I know, like I said, I know you're not a super fan of the character, but I did like the moment, and I like seeing the stuff with Hordak, and damn, it was cool. It's such
well, I mean, everybody universally likes that episode, strictly on the Horde. I mean,
Pretty much.
It's universal love because of that. Even people who hate that episode, like myself, you know, I still, you know, me and my brother used to rewatch that episode just for the Horde alone. We could care less about King Grayskull. It was all about...
I just like the not the transformation, but I did like the I have the power moment for the first time. I liked it. You see, he's a lefty, too.
I didn't like it at all, but it was well worth to see the Horde in full swing, even though we see them kind of get their butt stomped pretty quickly, aside from Hordak. But with that and the appearance of the Snake Men and Rise of the Snake Men Part 1, that was a big deal because, you know, and I'm going to do my best to be nice here, you know, to introduce this new faction as such a powerhouse to come in and dethrone Skeletor and turn all the evil warriors to stone, and you see Merman fall to pieces. And I like, oh my, that's the character that died. Someone's going to die in this season. It's Merman. He died. Like, and I remember Nathan and my brother thought I was upset. I'm like, no, this is ballsy. This is great. I mean, they had the nerve to kill off one of the top tier henchmen, and then he's brought back in the next episode. But still, it was an incredible introduction to the Snake Men, because I remember thinking too. I almost felt like, we'll get Rattler, we'll get King Hiss and Tongue Lasher, but I'm like, Snake Face and Squeeze almost felt like it'll be a long shot if we get them. So as we're watching it, and you're seeing Tongue Lasher jump out, and then you see the long green arms, like,
oh, I lost it. I lost it.
Oh my God.
And Snake Face, because he's my favorite. Yeah, when Snake Face popped up, I lost it because he's my favorite. Also seeing Squeeze, but when they were all there, that was so damn cool. I mean, I just, you know, what's funny is you talk about the whole part with Merman, how he got killed, but then also they brought him back. You know, that's when, those are the moments when I always like sitting back into the community and seeing what fans had to say, because I usually just didn't take part. I remember that was one hell of a back and forth debate, because first there was the people that said, my God, I can't believe he killed the established character of Merman. It's terrible. And then the others were like saying, it's great. But when he was brought back, I remember so many people pissed. Why did you do that? It took away that impactful moment. Yeah. But do you remember that? People were losing their crap about that.
I remember posting a few things when the 2000X cartoon was on, and everyone just was ignoring me. Like, I went on the ranting about Fisto being Manarosa's brother. I'm like, man, if I was Fisto, I'd take that big fist and like smash my head in. And a couple of smart-ass people on the Hemidoro forums were like, well, you better get going to doing it, wink, wink. And I'm just like, you guys go to hell. And it was just, I always got ignored, so I just never posted that much, you know, during that time. But I would go and read what people would say for a lot of times. But me personally, I was brokenhearted that Merman came back, simply because I felt like it was such an impactful, like, block builder for the Snake Men's introduction, that they come in and kill one of the evil warriors right off the bat, you know, and to have him dismantle in the second episode, it was just like, oh God. But that's an argument for another day. But that introduction where they come in, Skeletor comes in after defeating the heroic warriors and sees King Hiss is sitting on the throne. You see his eyes lit up red and squaring off like that. And I mean, even in part two, where King Hiss breaks into Grayskull and confronts the sorceress, and the animation of him looking at her straight and these, you know, beams of green snakes blasting at the sorceress trying to attack her. It just looked really cool. Like King Hiss, and then Hiss and Zodak fighting down in the lower chambers, I thought was pretty cool. Where Zodak uppercuts King Hiss and he kind of expands back and the snakes kind of burst out to go into action. I thought that was a really cool sequence as well.
There's a lot. You're right. I love that. I love that. Like I said, there's so many damn moments. I think, you know, The Last Stand also where,
oh man,
you know, okay.
The episode's The Last Stand.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of great parts from when you see Mossman finally, you know, like, coming and he was floating in with everybody on him. It was like, damn, Mossman sure didn't seem like a joke of a character where, oh, he's just making smells. I mean, he came in impactful and hard with everybody with him, and Roboto on there just blasting away. That was a cool-ass moment. And plus, you could see He-Man kicking the crap out of all the giants, everybody else. But also, it was like, as it first kind of started, when Prince Adam's there, and when he, I think, got the Havoc Staff from Skeletor, who's like, you know, like he's going to blast him or something. And I think Skeletor said something along the lines of, again, don't quote me because I'm not perfect with these quotes, but I think he said something like, stealing isn't nice, but, you know, like father, like son, like he's implying.
It's not nice to take things that belong to us, but then again, like father, like son.
There you go. I knew you'd know the exact quote of it. And I always kind of, I couldn't remember if that was something that he was implying something early on. I was wondering what was it he was implying with that quote? I probably forgot from some of the early episodes.
Also, are you being sincere or are you just pretending, like, or just talking about how you felt at the time?
No, I mean, I was being sincere because I actually kind of forgot some of the early.
King Randor, you know, blasting the acid back in Keldor's face. And
taking his face? Oh, okay. I didn't quite get what he meant.
They say they were going down that. I mean, that's the thing. The whole Keldor, like,
brother thing.
Yeah, it's never addressed in the show. You know, you're introduced to Keldor, and that's all you really have to go on, because you can't say it technically. The whole "we're brothers" and "you took the throne that I want," because we're never told that they are brothers. Well, I mean, as fans, we know the backstory, but within the context of the show,
never officially said.
As "you took my face," because it's addressed in Underworld too. "You took my face, and you know, now I take your life and then your kingdom." You know, so he really holds the whole taking my face.
Yeah, because that's what I was making sure. I was like, I don't think it was ever said in the cartoon, like I said, implied, but it was never said about their relationship, about them being brothers.
Yeah,
so.
I'm glad they, you know, even though we all knew that was something that was coming down the pipeline, I'm glad that was something that we just didn't have to deal with within the show.
Yeah, and I did like also right in within that same moment when Prince Adam got knocked down and Orko was there, gave him the sword.
Yeah.
I love that moment of transformation, because as you're seeing Skeletor trying to bring down the, you know, drawbridge, and then the transformation of how he looks up and seeing the lightning, like, you know, almost I love that moment, and then seeing how he just juiced up and became, that was a cool ass transformation. But yeah, I just love The Stand. It was a very good episode.
Yeah, and then him leaping up, destroying the Ramstone, tearing down all the villains, and then breaking the action and taking out the giants and clashing swords with Triclops, which that shot of them clashing swords, and then their faces getting closer because they're trying to, you know, knock the other one down. Sword fighting with Marzo, and that, I like that shot of Whiplash attacking He-Man. He flips him over him, grabs a hold of, I think it's Webstor's webbing, jerks him off the battle ram, and then takes webbing, and then, you know, takes it and hits Clawful in the neck to knock him off the battle ram. It was just really good, just the best action sequence of the entire show. Just one long giant action sequence.
It did. It was nonstop, especially when Adam thought that, oh, you know, all the heroic warriors, the masters are coming to help, and it was all the evil warriors on all the heroic vehicles. Yeah, I like that, but I
remember Canada had, because they got to see the Council of Evil Part 1 and 2 before we got to see it.
Oh, did they?
It had been spoiled about, like, what had happened and things like that. I'm like, oh, man. So when Season 2 started, we got to watch Council of Evil Part 1 and 2 and then The Last Stand. So it just made me so mad that all of Canada got to see the final two part, but we wouldn't see it until the beginning of Season 2.
It's pretty, they got a lot of firsts. Like I said, they got to see the stuff first. They got the action figures first. So they got a lot of the first. But
Yeah.
no, but you know, it was great when, man, you're seeing He-Man getting blasted from Count Marzo, Evelyn, and Skeletor against that shield, you know, that's, you know, on around Castle Grayskull. I mean, it's either one of them's gonna give first, He-Man or that shield, but then the blast comes, which I believe it was Man at Arms blasted to, you know, knock it to where He-Man came down. And then you see Mossman bringing all the heroic warriors with him. But I like the part when Count Marzo is going to use that amulet. And you've seen, I think it was Straddle swooped and grabbed the amulet and was in the air. He threw it to He-Man. He-Man hit it like it was a baseball and knocked it basically, well, let's say, out of the park. But it took Zodak, the sorceress, and the power that came out of Castle Grayskull that when it hit Count Marzo, it turned him back into that evil dwarf Marzo. So, because some people, I remember some people thought that when the amulet was knocked out, he turned back into Marzo. It's like, no, that's not what turned him back into Marzo. It was Zodak and the sorceress with a blast through Grayskull that transformed him back into the dwarf Count Marzo. So, yeah, I just, damn, like I said, I there's just. It's a cartoon that, you know, like you said, there's some people might love parts, hate parts, but you can't deny that there was, they did really an amazing job, and it is unfortunate, so unfortunate we didn't get any more seasons, because I can only imagine what they could have done with the Horde, because that little taste that you said so many people remember of the Horde, it was so damn memorable, and that's all we had. It's like, what else could they have done? It sucks we didn't get more, but what we did get, like I said, it's just like any cartoon. Filmation wasn't full of complete all winners. There's some which you'd call some stinkers, and there's same thing within NYP as well, but it was a damn good cartoon and definitely should be praised. Very good cartoon.
I mean, because everybody from Web Store to Evil Seed, regardless of what Joe has to say, from Mossman to Cyclone, Roboto, all the Snake Men, Triclops, Trapjaw, Clawful, less said about him, the better. But visually, he was very striking. Whiplash, Battlecat looked great. Panther looked great. Oh, here's another good moment when it comes back to Council of Elite, but in the first part, when all the heroic warriors are being dismantled one by one, and Skeletor beats the hell out of Man at Arms in the Sands of Fire. Oh, that was awesome, man. Just when he's, got his arms crossed and he's come flying at him, throwing everything he's got, and then he's holding him, takes his left hand and just blows the hell out of it with his blast and just dismantles Man at Arms. Like, God. Me and my brother both was like, oh my God, this is just, you can't get more badass than that. I mean, that was just, they gave Skeletor so many great moments throughout the show. I mean, Filmation, it goes without saying, but with this show in particular, Skeletor got a lot of great evil moments. But I'd have to say that probably the Council of Evil story arc itself and Underworld, because of that fight between Randor and He-Man, it's a short-lived fight, but it was just such a great way of displaying Skeletor's cunning and how great a fighter he is. And for him to actually physically take on He-Man and Randor at the same time, and they're struggling to beat him, that's great display of like what a good villain is supposed to be, how he's supposed to be portrayed, that he cannot be just so easily defeated like that, that the heroes have to struggle even when they're teaming up on him. And to see him be portrayed as so intelligent, Council of Evil, and seeing him working with this new group. And I liked how he says, I gave up my best warriors for this plan, and them I liked. He's
And you know
still
what
serving
else?
a purpose. Like, it doesn't
It
mean, go ahead.
no, you're right. And what else they did, which, okay, here's the thing. We've all talked about comedy and cartoons, blah, 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 whatever. If it's done right, it can work with subtle little moments. Like, I believe it was in Council Evil Part 2, whenever all the evil warriors are getting their butts handed to them and leaving and running. And the only one that stuck around with Skeletor was Webstor. And Webstor said,
Oh, that
I'm
was
still
the
here to fight. And I think Skeletor said something
go, go,
along the
go.
lines.
That was the last stand.
Oh, sorry. Last Stand. My fault. See what happens when I start running them in together. Last Stand. Thank you. So, yeah, in the Last Stand, when he's there with Skeletor, and I think he says, I'm still here to fight. And I think Skeletor said something like, oh, how comforting. Or he said something like, and it was, you could hear in his voice, like, oh, how comforting. Like, yeah, you're going to be able to do something when everybody else got the crap kicked out of him. But that's the little comedy moments that can work in something without taking it away from the show and making it seem too funny. You know what I mean? Those are little bits. You know, you don't look at something and say, oh, that was a complete comedy show because of that. Those little moments worked. And that's why, just to, you know, take, I guess, you know, take a little advice from that cartoon and others. If they ever think about doing He-Man again, you want to do something. Don't turn it into a complete yuck fest, as Tyler likes to say. You can use little moments like that, but still keep it serious. I would wish, you know, in a perfect world, if they were ever to bring He-Man back, hell, if they could somehow continue off, but it'll never happen. It'd be amazing if they could continue with NYP and what they had planned. It won't happen, but if Masters ever came back, I hope it could be given some kind of proper respect. Good stories, good action adventure for people to get into, kids and adults. You know, please everybody.
I mean, I don't see why a new series could not just be an amalgam of Filmation elements, NYP, and building up to new adventures where you've got He-Man and Skeletor for like a 3-episode story are taken away off Eternia to Primus, and they win the battle in a three-episode story arc, and then come back to Eternia, and you bring back the Galactic Guardians and the mutants, and now you've got new factions on Eternia, and you just keep going on with that. And just I think that would be a really fun thing to do, because there's so many great things in all the canons that I'd like to think, you know, you could still work in stuff like the Faceless One, another prime example of of NYP's genius. Is, I mean, that's thanks to Larry DiTilio, but that's something that, you know, they added to a lot of the mythology. King Grayskull is the only thing I felt that took away from the mythology. I mean, all the other stuff from Two Bad's origin, Cyclone, Roboto, just trying to think of who else. I mean, we didn't get a whole lot of origins in the show. We're just kind of introduced to these characters because they've already been like Mossman and Evil Seed and Cyclone.
Cool origin, at least for Too Bad. I love the episode where you see Tubar Badger. That was genius.
That is the definitive like moment. I mean, like probably my most favorite moment is the introduction of Too Bad and how they're depicted as two very competent bounty hunters.
I like that a lot.
Definitely the best, my favorite moment or favorite element of NYP is because Too Bad's my favorite evil warrior. So I just thought like, oh, this is so great, and how they depicted Tubar using a lot of equipment, kind of like Predator with invisibility cloaking and various devices on his gauntlet and a shock spear and stuff like that. It was just pure genius. And I mean, there was a lot of great stuff in there. I mean, a lot of fun stories, and you know, we're not going to focus on, you know, bad like Day of the Machines and stuff like that, where you're just in the island. And but I mean, it's I know I've probably spoken more harshly in the past on previous episodes about what I think about it,
but it's something that if fans maybe don't remember seeing them all, or maybe there are fans who've never seen it, I know you can see it on YouTube, correct? You could probably look up any of them.
Yeah, every episode is available on YouTube. I know a YouTube user by the name of Thought Pran, I think it's like Thotpran. He uploaded, I think, all the entire series. I think he's got New Adventures. I think he's got Brave Star as well. But if you haven't watched the show in a long time, or maybe you're relatively new, or I don't know. I just feel like, you know, there's a lot of great episodes that deserve to be revisited, such as Underworld and Council of Evil Part 1 and 2 and The Last Stand, Snake Pit. Courage of Atom's not bad. That's not one I frequent much. Sky War's not bad either. I mean, Lessons, strictly just for the Faceless One. And that was something me and my brother would just go back and rewatch, just the two segments with the Faceless One. I do remember this. When during the original run, I wasn't going to be home on a particular Friday. I was going to go over to stay over at Nathan's house. This is like, I guess, well, yeah, around that time, and I was going to miss, because I don't think Nathan was into the show at the time, and The Ties That Bind was the episode that was coming on. I thought, that's going to be an episode all about Taylor and the Sorceress. I guarantee it. Probably because of that, I'm not going to be missing much. So I had my brother record it, and that was the one time I missed an original airing, because I like, it's about Taylor complaining and crying, and about the Sorceress being a, you know, PMSing about something. And sure enough, I get home that Saturday and watch. And I'm like, yeah, I'm glad I missed this episode because it was just a forgettable episode. However, I did not miss a single episode other than that one, from Siren Song to Dragon's Brood and The Island. And I mean, every episode was caught and rewatched multiple times.
You know, and I'll admit, you know, when you were talking about, like I said, I know I don't have the amount of, like, I guess, hate of King Grayskull as you do, but here's the thing. I remember when the Powers of Grayskull, when that episode, you know, was being announced, and right when the source was talking about stuff from the past, I immediately got giddy because I thought we were going to hear the name Hero. I was so waiting, especially after I always tell you my stories of when I went to the stores and I've seen the catalog, you know, about Hero, Eldor, Gigantosaur, Titus, Megator, and all this. I was like, oh my God, and I constantly waited and waited for figures that never happened. So when they talked about it, I was like, oh my God, we are going to see Hero. I can't wait. And he never came. And I remember I was pissed and I was very disappointed. I still like the moment I told you about with King Grayskull, what I said, I still like that moment, but I was so let down because I was guaranteed, no, it's for sure, we were going to see Hero. That, I admit, was a very big letdown that we didn't get Hero. God, I thought it was going to happen.
That and Revenge of the Snake Man Part 2, I think, were the biggest punches to the stomach on its original airing, where I just felt that and The Island. Because I remember The Island came on right after the snake bit. And to follow an episode that has a new version of Zodak, Cobra Khan, and Rattler all in the same episode, and you feel like, oh man, the show's just getting better and better, and then you get The Island. You're like, what the hell was that?
And that was with Decker, right? Was that with Decker, yeah. The Island? Yeah, I didn't do backflips over that. Nobody did.
Everybody handled that episode. It was just, you know, that should have been an episode depicted earlier on in the season. I mean, you can't follow an episode like the Snake Pit with an episode like The Island. It was just, you know, bad. I mean, I don't know. Maybe in their eyes, I'm sure they probably didn't think it was that bad of an episode. But I remember it was just universally panned when it came out because it was just that and Buzz Off's Pride. I remember that being another one that was a bit not as well received either. People were just like, oh man, that episode sucked, man. But yeah, I've grown to appreciate that. The Island, I have yet to revisit since its original airing. I had no desire to go back and rewatch that episode.
Is The Island your version of what was that called? The VHO or whatever for Filmation?
Oh,
that,
the VHO.
Search for VHO.
I mean, at least, God. And I think, I'm pretty sure Grimbot can clarify that. I think James liked Search for the VHO.
Did he? I just did not like that episode.
Well, you can't have something like called The Kraken, but he's got a chicken beak.
It's terrible. You know? It was a bad one.
Yeah, but it's got cool animation of Merman running and leaping into the water and He-Man doing the same.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but overall, it's a terrible episode.
Yeah, you guys, if you want to see one, heck, and maybe you guys can watch it. And if you have different opinions, you should, you know, always let us know next week if you like to search for VHO. And I'm sure you can find that on YouTube. But
yeah, James has that on his official He-Man YouTube channel. So if you haven't seen it, or don't know what we're talking about, or you haven't seen it in a while, it's available to watch on that in its entirety. So
there you go. So, well, that's basically that. Like I said, we wanted to honor the series and some of its great moments, because I had many of them. So you can catch it on YouTube, any ones you want to watch. But before we wrap it up, I'll cover one question here. But again, this is where, towards the end of the show, we always say, if you guys have any questions at all, whether it's from the cartoon, the toys, the movie, anything that you want to ask, go ahead and type them in the chat room now. We have about a 30-second delay, and we'll answer and cover your questions right now. But while you're typing up some questions, I was going to say there was one that's already been brought into the chat room from Zen Brown. And I'll pass it to you, Tyler. He said, I think this will probably be pretty quick and easy. But he said, who would you pick in a fight between King Grayskull and Jaga from Thundercats?
Oh, my God, man. Jaga would kick his ass.
It's like there's no second thought from Tyler. It's like, that's it.
I mean, Jaga would just open up the door of King Grayskull's ass and just tear it all apart, spray paint that Jaga was here, and then take the Sword of Omens and just jam it right down there and walk away. You know, he'd rip him a new one.
Feeling something like that was going to come, as you guys definitely could see. There's no way Tyler's ever going to support, endorse, or anything, something coming about King Grayskull.
There is not a single argument that can be made to justify that character, especially when you've been told for years Hero was the definitive ancestor.
Was that the main thing that probably pissed you off? Because Jose in the chat room, he even asked that. He says, why don't you like King Grayskull? Is it because we're probably expecting Hero so much and just bam?
We were never told anything about Hero, but every fan, and it was figured out when, from Val Staples and them who were working on the MV Creations 2000X He-Man comic, that one of the powers that be, I think it was behind the cartoon, I think it was the cartoon or the one or the other. You know, this has already been where King Grayskull had already been introduced, and they, in the comic book, threw in a cameo of Hero. And because everyone was kind of led to believe, do these guys, are they aware of Hero? Like, what the character was supposed to be? And one of the guys behind the scenes told them, like, oh, I saw you throw Hero in there. And when Val told that story, it was acknowledging that, okay, the powers that be are aware of Hero. They're just choosing not to use him. They came up with their own thought. Because that's what bothered me the most. I felt like we've already been given an established backstory as to the origin of He-Man's power comes from this wizard called Hero in a toy line / cartoon / mini comic series that we never got finished. So for years, you're just like, oh man, the potential of wondering and fantasizing about what this line could be. And we're told we're going to see the origin of Grayskull in this episode. And that's all we're told. So you're waiting and waiting and waiting. Okay, Hordak. And they see reference to the Snake Man. Oh, It's coming, man. And then you see this big, bulky, you know, doppelganger of He-Man come walking forward like this. And you're like, the hell is this? Where's Hero? You know, no mention of Eldor or anything like that. Just a really big guy. That's it. He doesn't have powers. He's just finding the power within himself. It was a lot of people liked it. But I also know a lot of people who thought it was just about as unique as a fart.
Yeah, because again, I liked the moment, but as for the character, I mean, I didn't do backflips over him. I just liked his moment of the first I have the power of the fight with Hordak, but I was like the others because of my memories from my childhood of knowing a Hero, of knowing something and seeing something that not many people seen when the lady showed me the Elder Beerman catalog at Elder Beerman and knowing of these characters I thought were coming. So I knew that it was the guy that was going to be, that was in that pre-Turnia, Powers of Grayskull, the first issue, part 1 of 3, where we never got part 2 of 3, and I kept waiting. When's it going to come? I understood and knew that was the guy. You could just tell that was him at the end. So I really was, you know, just, I'm sitting there on the edge of my seat, waiting through that whole episode of, you know, Powers of Grayskull. I was like, oh my God, we're going to see Hero. And I kept thinking, even within seeing King Grayskull, it was going to happen. And it just never did. So that was a big letdown for me. But yeah, if you gave me the choice of who do I prefer, oh, I'm going to say, no doubt, Hero. Hero's the dude. That's the guy. That's the ancestor, the real ancestor.
Because it was an interesting take that he wasn't just, you know, a great warrior. No, he's a wizard.
The most powerful wizard in the universe. Most powerful wizard.
That power that the guy is in control of is put into Grayskull and is kept encased in the power sword, along with all the other secrets of Grayskull, things like that. But that is the definitive power that He-Man is given to become He-Man, and it allows him to deflect things and just channel, you know, the power of Grayskull through that sword is through Gray, aka Hero. So when we are all aware of this, and this knowledge had been available on the internet for a long time. If you were checking on the old Adam Tyner website or the early days of He-Man.org, the information was there. We all knew for a long time that that was where the story was going, and that was going to be the origin of He-Man. So, you know, when they're going back and bringing back characters like Evil Seed and Count Marzo from the old Filmation cartoon, it's like you kind of feel, okay, they're going back to the heyday of this stuff. They're not, they'll throw in a few new things here and there, but they're pulling from sources that we're very familiar with. What made you think that Hero and Eldor and the dinosaurs would have been a logical thing they were going to do? But they decided to nix that and come up with their own group of characters and elders instead of Eldor. Yeah. And that's what we got. And yes, a lot of people like it, but a lot of people don't like him at all. And I I make that well known. No bones about it, man. I just found the character just to be uninspiring and lazy and everything. But I digress, because that was Dean Stefan's idea. And I still praise him for everything else he did on the show, because I'm not here to be nasty. But
No, not at all. That's not our intention at all. Just, like I said, just giving our opinions on the thing. But all right, well, I think we have time for two questions here at the bottom before we wrap it up, and I couldn't remember if somebody's going to have a trivia for us as well. But Brad Collins said, how would you feel if they just continued with the MYP cartoon? He said, season three onwards, continuing with the new ideas and canons they have introduced, or would you prefer a new cartoon from scratch? Well, I mean, I know that a new MYP, I know that it won't continue. I mean, would I love it? Sure, I'd love it. I would have loved to finally seen the Horde and everything be introduced and what they had planned. It'd be fantastic. But we know it's not going to happen, so it'll probably have to be a new cartoon. But like we said earlier, I hope if there's a new cartoon, at least keep it in the same feel and vein of, you know, Filmation slash into MYP, to where, you know, you can have serious takes, to where it's for children and adults. I think you guys might get what I'm doing with that, because there's been quite a conversation about some Thundercats. But yes, please, both fans, you don't want to just sit there and isolate one, or just, you know, focus on one group. You know, we're here. We're the hardcore fans, been keeping Masters alive for so long by buying all the products, the merchandise, through fan sites, through websites, through pages on Facebook. So you definitely know if you're going to do Masters of the Universe, just give it the proper respect, and hopefully it would be something great. But I guess a new cartoon, because I know MYP wouldn't happen. I guess that's my answer. That's my answer. I don't know about you, Tyler.
Kind of torn about it, because season three, we're supposed to get Clamp Champ, and of course the Horde were going to show up, and the Hero Corps were going to be like rebels. The Horde would have taken over. Would have been an interesting story, but given how I felt that the Snake Men were not depicted as strong as they should have been, that's what worried me about the Horde. Like, we can be hyped up about it, but will they be depicted as strong as we're led to believe? Like, with the Snake Men, you think that these guys are going to come in and kick everyone's ass, and that's not the case. Oh, another great moment is King Hiss devouring a Kaligar warrior, and I think it's Awaken the Serpent, I think. I didn't like the overall episode because of Fisto and Man-at-Arms bickering, but it was a great depiction of like, no, the Snake Men eat people alive. Like, it's depicted in Revenge of the Snake Men eating Zilar, Zodak's brother, but knowing these Kaligar warriors have been captured to be devoured alive, and you see King Hiss putting a tail down his mouth, That was badass.
It was. No, it was. Agreed. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for that question, Brad.
Yes, I would probably a new cartoon, probably.
Okay. All right. JSP, real quick. He said, if He-Man is your pro wrestling champion, who would you book him to lose to? A screwjob finish, obviously. He says screwjob finish, obviously. So he says, does not have to be limited to Masters of the Universe. Can be Marvel, DC characters as well. I don't know, Tyler, since I rambled about the other one, you go ahead. Who do you think he would lose to with a screwjob finish?
It would be, you know, Skeletor's interference, and Clawful would be the new heavyweight champion of Eternia.
You got to give it to Clawful. There you go.
Skeletor would be like the mouthy manager, like Bobby the Brain Heenan or Slick. And Clawful is his main guy, and you know they're booked at WrestleMania, you know, on Eternia, and I'd have He-Man drop the belt to Clawful, like Clash of Arms Clawful,
and that's a good Clawful, yeah,
that version of Clawful. Skeletor interferes, distracts He-Man, and allows Clawful to put on his finisher, which I don't know at the moment because I hadn't thought of it, but that's what it would be, and it would be a fast count, much like, not a fast count. It would just be a simplistic Skeletor gets He-Man's attention, and He-Man's been beating Clawful during most of this fight, and allows Clawful to get the victor, like a schoolboy, a small package, or just puts on his finisher, you know, he puts on the Grip of Evil. There you go. That would be the name of Clawful's finisher. He's called the Grip of Evil. Good God Almighty. And he's He-Man struggling.
In Vince McMahon's voice, huh?
You know, so that I would have Clawful from Clash of Arms get the heavyweight title from He-Man. And then through the summer, Clawful is defeating the Heroic Warriors. He beats Clamp Champ. He beats Fisto. He beats Cyclone. And then Heyman has to win the King of the Ring tournament to earn a title shot.
Oh, God, the King of the Ring. You're bringing that.
Yeah. Say, they ought to have me booking wrestling, man. People will be turning out in droves to see this.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks for that question, JSP.
That was a good question. I like that.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. And, well, the last one, that was a teaser with Grimbot. You know, don't say this stuff, kind of. Grimbot, you shouldn't do that. He said, how about a continuation of Filmation show? He said, doors wide open for that with less regulations nowadays.
That to me, I would choose over everything.
That would be fun because he said, great opportunity to tell proper stories. You're right. With nowadays, I don't think you got to do all the stuff of being careful of what you have to say. You have to think, oh, my God, my thing's dying. My crap.
What?
Wait, my power's going. I'm going to have to switch. Hold on.
Oh, God.
Son of a gun. Unreal that it did this.
This is what we get for Joe using the ghetto setup with duct tape. Okay, I think he's officially died on me here live on the internet. I'm live on YouTube right now, and Joe has died on me here. All right. Well, I can't see people's questions. So, how can I keep this going here? All right, Joe.
Can you guys hear me? Hold on. Wait a second.
He's gone again.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Good God. Well, earlier from the other show we did, I guess I used up all my power, but I charged it from that time on. I guess it didn't hold the complete charge. Damn it, Joe had to foil us in the last second. Yeah, what a maroon. There you go. So, damn it, I can't even see. Where the hell is the group chat? I got to switch to something else. Hold on. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm back and I can see. I'm sorry, Grimbot saying I'm a robot. I got knocked out. Sorry about that, guys. But I tried to come back as quick as possible. So I don't even know what the hell I just missed or what was said.
Well, no. Or continue like more Filmation. Yes, I want to see more Lizard Man. I want to see Cyclone and Moss Man done properly in Filmation. I want to see Too Bad done a lot more properly. I mean, I'd still like to see the opening to part one. Jeez, did you just like tear open your pants or something? It was like this tearing noise you did.
I took a piece of tape that was over the video camera.
You really are using duct tape over there.
Yeah, but wait, what the hell? Why? There still ain't no video though. I don't know what. What the hell?
See you, Joe. Relax. I can see you.
Oh, I couldn't see myself. Oh wait, I forgot I was on the delay. Guys, you got to give me a proper second. I'm sorry. Yeah, I have a. Yeah, there was a piece of tape there, so I moved the tape, and there, I'm back. God, what a maroon, just like you said. So, a Filmation continuation. Yeah, that would be a dream, especially to see characters like, it would be cool to see Ninja or Scareglow, characters like that which we never got in the Filmation cartoon. I mean, really, how cool would it be to have that? So, no, so thank you for that tease, Grimbot. It would be a dream to have that as well, but,
Yeah, more strong arm. I like to see strong arm show up in more episodes. You know, that's something. And more jitsu, more chopper.
Hell yeah, that's what I mean. A lot of the characters that we barely got any of, or some that we got none of, it would just be great to see. I mean, hell, even characters that people like to pick on, like the Energy Zoids. How cool would it be to see them in Filmation as well, get some kind of cool proper treatment. So. All right, well, guys, I probably missed some of the stuff in the chat because of what happened, but, you know, it's almost time to wrap it up, so I'm sorry if I missed any questions, but I will get to Zentron's quote before we end the show, but I want to appreciate, again, everybody here that joined us in the chat room. You know, we always love having you here every week. We always try to acknowledge any of your questions and, you know, anything that you have to say. Like I said, it's not just us doing the show. You're doing the show with us as well. We're all fans of Power, so I really appreciate you guys being here, so... Before I wrap it up and do the trivia question from Zentron, I'm going to pass it to Tyler if you have any closing things you want to say.
No.
All right. Fuck it. I mean, that's it.
Not on this episode. I got nothing else right now.
Okay. All right. You have nothing. And let me quick to say to Adam, no, I'm never going to take this mask off. It's like you guys don't want to see my face anyway. Trust me. You don't want to see it. But no, I'm not taking this mask off. So there, I answered your question. Now, let me just say the trivia question from Zentron. Here's his movie quote that he has to me and Tyler.
His movie quote is, "You hired me to do a job. That's where your significance ends. But you hired me to do a job. That's where your significance ends."
Don't know that one.
Damn it, I don't know. So Zentron, you stumped me. You stumped Tyler. So while I'm gonna do the closing real quick and pass it to Tyler for his quote, you're gonna have to give us the answer here in the chat room, and then I'm gonna have to try to figure out Tyler's. So I'm gonna do a different closing. I'm just gonna say, have a powerful day.
I don't puke when I drink. I puke when I don't.
Hmm. Okay. First, let me say Zentron said the movie was Steel Dawn. I don't even think I've ever seen that movie, but that was Steel Dawn.
I've never seen Steel Dawn with Patrick Swayze.
God, I feel bad. Never seen it. Sorry. I'm sorry, Zentron. Well, there. You stumped both of us. And then yours was about puking to drink or drink to puke. What did you say?
I don't puke when I drink. I puke when I don't.
Oh, God, I don't know. Now I'm going to wait to see if anybody gets it in the chat room. We always leave it open for 30 seconds for somebody to try, and if they don't, then Tyler will tell the answer. I'm not going to look at the chat room because I'm done. I mean, I don't know the answer, so I'm not going to cheat. I have no clue. So let's see. Yeah, Jose, there's a thing that we do. It's always a fun thing at the end. We have this little, like, movie trivia or just a movie quote, and we see if, you know, anybody can guess it. I usually try, and I fail almost every single week horribly, and usually somebody in the chat room gets it. Let me see. Only a clue is just me. I don't know. That doesn't look like I'm getting any answer there. It's been about 30 seconds, so Tyler, gonna let us off the hook. What is it?
Woody Harrelson and Kingpin.
Oh, God. I couldn't remember. That's bad. And I love Kingpin. I mean, but that one I don't remember. I remember when he did puke after doing something particular and then that movie. I mean, it was some good ass.
Well, yeah, of course, everyone's going to remember that scene. But this is later at the bowling tournament before he goes up against Bill Murray.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, wow, I'm still stumped. I can't even think of that. As you say, I can't even envision the scene. Huh.
Yeah. Bathroom, Randy Quaid comes to check on him. He's like, Are you puking in there, Mr. Munson? He says, damn it. What are you doing in there, Mr. Munson? Puking. Munson. Where do I keep getting Munson from? No, I'm puking.
Wow. Now I'm going to have to watch Kingpin again just to see if I can catch that. Yeah, Dan Rice said he loves that movie. No, it is. I love that movie, but I sure the hell didn't know that quote. And I probably don't know a lot of the quotes, but I have failed you once again. But again, all right, well, everyone, thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
See you next week.